People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange. When you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
You're back. This is The Real Thing on More Like Radio, Duck, ladies and gentlemen. It is officially November 6th, 2016. We are also joined, as always, by Chris Wetton. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. And we also have a very special guest. His name is Sean Waters.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. From his own show that he's going to be doing? Soonish.
Soonish.
So, but also of Hippo Juice Frame, which is coming up next on morelikeradio.com. And so, it is interesting that we have all three of us here because we all three saw your number one movie in America this weekend, and that was Doctor Strange with $85 million grossed.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
That's just domestic. It made more than that internationally, right?
Yeah, I think it made, let's see...
I mean, it's been out internationally for a couple weeks now. Like, I think the United States got it later than many other countries did.
Yeah, our friend Ash ended up seeing it in England the week and a half before we got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, as far as this is concerned...
So, 85 million in the United States? Is that what you said?
85 million. And then second
That's
place...
pretty big.
Second place, which I was kind of surprised about... Trolls, well, actually, no, not that one. That one made 45.6. Hacksaw Ridge. Mel Gibson's back.
Hey.
Kind of? Sort of?
Back?
Is he back?
Doubtful.
No?
Doubtful.
I gotta tell you, he's been on the late night circuit. I don't know if you've seen any of it. He was on, like, Colbert. It is awkward as shit when he's in interviews. And Colbert asked him straight up about the whole thing. He's like, have you learned anything in the last 10 years? Like, you've been through some rough times here, you know? He talked pretty candidly about, you know, the worst moment of his life taking place in the back of a cop car and the entire world hearing it and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
It's pretty uncomfortable to see him in interviews talking about it so openly like that.
Well, not only that, but not the fact that you're talking about something that's uncomfortable, but you also look extremely uncomfortable watch because he's got that, like, furled, like, white Jeremiah Johnson, like, on acid beard.
And his face has aged in, like, that, like, kind of, like, old sun-drenched leather saddlebag kind of way, too. Like,
that's what happens when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, though.
Well, I mean...
That's true.
It is beautiful. So,
hating Jews really takes it out of you.
I guess it does. It's very, very exhausting.
It's not worth the effort.
But, so yeah, we all three of us saw Doctor Strange last night. We saw it in 3D. We saw it in the D-Box.
3D D-Box.
Three double D-Box, as we like to call ourselves. That's going to be our rap album title.
I got D-Boxed twice last night.
You got D-Boxed twice. And you know what was really funny? That someone tried to take our seats, and they're like, oh, no, take the shit out of here. That's why I was telling Sean last night when I'm driving home, like, I will gladly pay the extra sawbuck, to have reserved seats, so not only can I sit wherever I want, and I can show up, like, 2 minutes beforehand, but also to have, like, oh, no, seats four and five, get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Like,
no, seriously, the fact that the seat vibrates and twirls around a little bit, that's fine, but the part about it that I like the most is the fact that it's your seat, no one can take it.
Yeah.
Number two, like you said, you can literally get there 1 minute before the movie starts, or you can get there in the previews, your seat will not be taken, and if it is, they kick their ass out.
They take their popcorn and their drink.
Yes.
Like, this is not mine, I've got my own. But anyway, so yeah, Doctor Strange. Listen, I... didn't even really know about this guy. I know that you do, Sean. Sean's a big comic book buyer.
I like comic books. I mean,
he likes them. In the same way
that Doctor Strange. Have you read?
I have read a lot. I grew a lot of Marvel comics reading when I was younger, and Doctor Strange was one of those ones where I was always fascinated with the magic aspect of it, because they have alluded to it in the previous Marvel movies now, but now it's actually here. This is magic besides, you know, the thing of the gods, which
isn't
technically magic because to them it's science,
right,
on Asgard. But now that we have actual magic here in the Marvel universe now, makes it a very much more interesting.
Yeah, it's not science-driven like Iron Man is, or like superhero power-driven like the Hulk or Captain America. It's like a whole other aspect, which I guess I didn't know that. I'm not a comic book fan, so that was new to me watching the movie last night.
The only reason how I knew about anything was garnered mainly from the trailer.
Yeah.
Which were effective. I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
So especially when we were talking about it before, and the Inception comparison was obviously made, but it's not just about that. I mean, there is that in there, but we can just get into it. Spoilers, by the way. If you don't want to get spoiled, then we're probably going to talk about crap that try to make it spoiler-free. But give me, like, the layman's term. Doctor Strange is who? So he's Stephen Strange.
Dr. Stephen Strange is a neuroscientist who injures his hands and is no longer capable of doing neurosurgery.
Right, and he's kind of a dick.
He's a lot of a dick.
Yeah.
Not kind of a dick, he's a total dick. A lot of these Marvel characters are not likable people. Tony Stark is a womanizer and alcoholic. He's not a good person, but he's still Iron Man.
Right.
Stephen Strange is kind of similar to that. He was an arrogant neurosurgeon who injured himself, and he went to go study the dark arts. Not dark arts, but magic, basically.
Right.
Even though he was kind of skeptical about the whole thing the whole time. He's like, this is not a real thing. This is a thing of story. But then once you start seeing the other strange things that have been going on in the Marvel Universe, it starts to make more sense that, magic seems a little bit more plausible. Especially
right.
with this guy, you know, flying around with his hammer. That guy with the staff that's like his brother, kind of.
So, when you're thinking of Doctor Strange, did you already have it in your mind when they were casting Benedict Cumberbatch? Like, they got it. They got it right.
Well,
like,
that was great.
Yeah, okay.
That was a great acquisition, because when they, he shaves himself up with the thing, he looks just like Doctor Strange does in the comic itself. So it's really good.
I do think that, when they announced that Michael Keaton was going to be Batman, fanboys went ape shit. And even when they announced that, like, Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, or when Jared Leto was announced as the Joker, like, fanboys went ape shit. But when they announced that Blender Snatch Curly Q was going to play Doctor Strange, I think everybody, like, all the nerds collectively nodded their heads and said, yeah.
Well, it's very similar to the Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. deal, where he was basically born to be Iron Man.
Yeah, it's great casting.
Yeah.
Art imitating life, or as I like to say, fart imitating life.
Was it okay? So what did you guys think?
I thought the movie was very entertaining. You know, I mean, it is a Marvel movie, so it is. You know, I mean, it couldn't be more formulaic. Like if they listed the ingredients at the during the opening shot, you know,
right?
It's like very, Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's very formulaic. There's been a lot of comparisons to sort of the Iron Man storyline of the first Iron Man movie. And I guess that's sort of appropriate. Like Sean was saying, he's a very similar character. He's extremely arrogant and sort of gets knocked down a peg or two and has to build himself back up into this superhero. But I thought that they used the formula well. I thought that it flowed very nicely. It actually does take its time getting to the magic. I mean, it's probably 30 minutes in before you see anything like that. They take their time building up this character as this arrogant guy who has quite a bit to learn.
Right.
Which
apparently, when he goes and trains, like his teachings, his learnings, it takes about a year. Which
seemed
kind of seemed kind of strange to me because I would have thought that they would have, I know, right?
Very strange.
I would have thought that they would have established, you know, I don't know, some kind of a montage, but it felt like we're going from one thing to another, and he's, okay, now he knows everything now. He knows everything. He knows all, sees all, tells all.
There was, I didn't think it was very clear that it was a year.
Right.
Like, they could have been a little bit clearer about the passage of time. Ultimately, you do get it because you see, like, his hands healing and things like that, but I think it could have been clearer. I thought the movie was fun, you know? Like, you can't expect too much out of the story. The story is ludicrous and preposterous. We're talking about magic and dark arts and, you know, stuff like that here.
Right.
Teleportation and all kinds of stuff like that. So you kind of got to leave those critiques at the door.
Okay.
Having said that, I enjoyed it. The visual effects, I mean, it's like Avatar-level shit.
Yeah,
like, seeing this in 3D was unreal. Yeah. Unreal.
It was so great. Yeah. So great to watch in 3D.
It was so good that I don't think I would enjoy this movie. Like, if I'd seen this on DVD or Blu-ray,
no,
I highly doubt I would think very much about the movie. I would think, you know, yeah, it's fine. It's another Marvel movie.
D-Box seating as well?
I don't know how much the D-Box seats add to it. Like we talked about, it certainly adds that you can get there whenever you want to.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
It's not a bad thing. Every once in a while I would forget that we were sitting in the D-Box seating, and then the seat starts jumping around, and I'm like, fuck, what was that? Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That happens now.
It's also almost impossible to cross your legs in the D-Box seat. Like, you try and cross your legs, and like then it starts, like tilting you all over the place. It's very uncomfortable. You kind of have to sit with both feet on the ground for
the one part where he's being introduced in, being his, he has his mind being freed by the Ancient One. That kind of felt like a roller coaster ride to me. Like,
oh my God.
In the literal sense. Like, if they took that and replaced Spider-Man over at Universal Studios or anything, that would be a comparable replacement. Like, okay, I could see that.
That scene probably lasts, what, 90 seconds?
Two minutes, maybe?
You get a little taste of the visual effects in the sort of an opening chase scene with the Ancient One in the movie.
Yeah.
But that scene, which is probably about 30 or 40 minutes into the movie, is, like, mind-blowing. Like, that it was unreal to watch in the D-Box seats in 3D.
Yeah, it starts looking like an M.C. Escher portrait and whatnot, so...
It really does.
Yeah, it's, It's
Matrix-level shit, it's Avatar-level shit, the visual effects.
Now, any criticisms?
Criticisms of the movie itself?
Right.
Well...
Like, okay, here's one thing that I was mentioning to Sean, is that Chris Evans is not an Oscar-winning actor.
No,
is lauded as being a good actor.
No.
Robert Downey Jr. hasn't done anything in a while of that varying degree because he's making Iron Man money. So, I mean, I know that he won an Oscar for Chaplin, but like all these people, all these people are okay actors, but you had never known them to be like acting. And so there was a couple times when I'm watching, because I have my own, when I was watching Blubber Dick Cumberhand, that. It almost seemed like I do have a list of them actually. It almost seemed like he was trying like way too hard.
Well, yeah.
Like so, but
well,
he has
an American accent.
But
did you know that going in?
I did know that.
I did not know that he was going to be doing an American accent.
Yeah.
So it kind of threw me, and it actually took a little bit of time for me to get used to it because he is so quintessentially British. You know?
Right.
I mean, you look at Beetlejuice, Cuisinart, and you just, like, he looks British, he sounds British, you've only ever seen him be British, and then he does the same thing that Dr. House does with the American accent, which is every word has to be overemphasized and articulated.
Right. There you go.
And
yeah.
Sometimes, not all the time. But
no, but it's
how
fine.
We talk like that because we're a bunch of assholes.
All of the time. So when I'm looking at barbecue chicken breast and I'm just distracted by his face and I'm thinking to myself, he could play Beavis. Like, he is Beavis of Beavis and Butthead. We came back afterwards and we were watching old school Beavis
and Butthead. We need to get this man to the operating table right away.
Says Benadryl Cabbage Patch.
God,
yeah.
Lizard Balls Gryffindor.
The other thing, I wrote a couple of notes. The other thing was that, okay, so can we talk about the ending? Because it seemed like
ending.
It was very funny. I get it. He got Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. He just got Groundhog Day. And then once the guy realized he was being Groundhog Day, he was like, I don't want to, you know, throwing toasters in the bathtub and shit. That doesn't seem like fun.
Right.
So, he gave up. That's how he got beat.
He annoyed him to death.
Basically.
Dormammu got annoyed.
But, well, I mean, that's all you can do with those, like, mystical entities that have been around since the beginning of existence. You can't really ever get rid of them.
I thought it was kind of cool.
You just have to inconvenience the shit out of them, and that's basically what he did.
You are interrupting my plans for universal domination.
I liked it. I mean, I think he kind of used the dark arts against this guy, and... you know, I thought that scene was kind of funny, too. That's the other thing about the movie. Like, it's got a lot of laughs in it from beginning to end.
There are way too many laughs in that movie.
Like, too many?
Well, no. I mean, too many in the sense that, like, I wasn't expecting them, but every time that they happened, I was, like, chuckling myself. Like, the callback to the one guy, Wong, and he's never listened to Beyonce before, and then he just... Or he just... He finally got it. I finally got the joke. He starts laughing and shit.
Yeah, no, there's tons of laughs in it, and Booty Shorts Crazy Glue himself, actually, it has really incredible comic timing. I mean...
No, he really does.
He was super funny.
Yeah, he was really funny. Like, everyone, for the most part, like, did a pretty good job acting, like Rachel McAdams, Tilda Swinton, looking like...
Tilda Swinton was amazing.
Yeah, she looked like she had, I don't know, she had the most bald, like, the most bald head
that
has ever existed.
It was like a football.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, like the surface of a football.
And you couldn't even tell that that cap was on there. It was really well done.
Was it a cap?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, pretty sure. Yeah.
I guess we would have seen her with a shaved head and pictures of her and stuff like
that.
She
has short hair.
No, I mean, it looked like a bald head. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. The other thing that I was mentioning to Sean about the movie was that, so how many movies has Marvel Studios made? Like 30 or 40, right?
I don't think it's that many. I think
so. It's not that many.
No, I think like there's been that many Marvel movies. If you talk about like X-Men and Fantastic Four, but those are Fox, and then Sony made like the Spider-Man movies.
Marvel Studios.
Marvel Universe. I think it's like 15 or 16. Something like that.
So the fucking intro credits for
still
20. Sure.
20.
But meanwhile, I was telling him like Marvel Studios basically prints money anytime they release any of these movies. Like, I think this is the 14th number one MCU movie that they had. So they have a montage of 14 movies, by the way, but it's like the longest fucking intro, like Universal Pictures or TriStar or 20th Century Fox. They're like 15 seconds we're in, like Marvel's like, fuck you, and they like throw down their big Hulk green cock. They're just like, yep, printing money, baby.
We're still working.
Yeah. Totally is.
I you know I'm not a big superhero movie fan. And I thought this movie worked better than a lot of the stuff that they do because they kept it light, because it stayed funny.
So you did like Burger King camera stand.
Yeah, I liked Baby Toots Kazakhstan a lot. You know, I thought he was really good.
Listen, I know that Bumblebee Crackerjack was a good actor. You know the other thing that I noticed in this movie? So Doctor Strange's cape is called what?
It's the Cloak of
Levitation.
Okay. So, but it was also acting like the rug from the movie Aladdin, where it's just like beating the shit out of people.
It's a semi-sentient magical being. It protects him.
Yeah, the cloak actually steals a couple scenes.
There was a couple scenes I was laughing my ass off for that.
Yeah. Oh, choking out that guy.
Yes,
right. It was like wrapped around his head.
Right, while Babadook Crap My Pants was in New York or Hong Kong or wherever the hell was going
on.
So.
Or both? Or all three?
All London, three at the same time,
They were in three different cities that were spread halfway across the world all the time. And I couldn't keep... I was like, what city are you in now? Okay, those people are Asian, they're in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Those people are white, they're either in New York or London.
And meanwhile, Bible Belt Crossing Guard is... hitting all continents. All continents, Chris.
Speaking of, like, time, though, the way the movie deals with time, that's another part. Like, so, like, when the bad guy shows up in London and, like, blows him through a brick wall and he ends up in another city or whatever, right? From that until the end of the movie, in terms of the storyline, is, like, one day.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because he goes back and forth between the... So this is one of the things that doesn't make sense about the movie. You ask about things I don't like.
Yeah.
So when that happens, when he gets blown through into another city, he's still pretty much a novice at that point. Like, he's learning. He's not really great at, like, harnessing this power and stuff. But by the end of the movie, he's, like, a master at it. And I know they say he's gifted, but if you really look at that timeline, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's like, you know, Rey in Star Wars becoming a Jedi Knight, you know, in one scene.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that they tried to... due to illustrate some of how quickly he was learning things is that there was one scene where he was asleep, but he was not asleep. He was actually astrally projecting yes. and studying Which while was cool. he was astral projecting. So by doing that, you're kind of in a different dimension outside of time. So you're not really bound by the same laws of time. So you can learn a little bit more in that time than you would in...
That's interesting. Interesting way to look at it. I didn't think about that. I guess that's true. The movie plays with all those things. And right. ultimately it doesn't. If you're going to pick apart those little kind of pieces about how quickly he learned something, yeah. like then, you know, you just don't like these kind of movies.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, listen, but all I know is that when Bleeding Cock Cripple Crotch goes into the hospital and is trying to organize the Ancient One going into surgery, and he hasn't been around these people for over a year because he's been in Kathmandu,
yeah.
of which, you know, I thought he was going to start referencing more 70s rock trivia and everything.
I was a little disappointed. Yeah, all I could think about was the Bob Seger song when they first said Kathmandu, and then they actually mention it.
Yeah.
But, like, I gotta say, and this always bothers anybody in the medical field, like, some of the medical stuff in that movie was just absolutely preposterous. It bothered me a lot. But Billy Goat Cosby drink was believable.
Cosby drink?
I don't want one of those.
He was believable as a surgeon. Like, he was very arrogant, you know, like, and he seems like a truly intelligent guy. Like, that's the thing about him in this character that does work, is, yeah. like, he just... You know, really seems like a guy that
smug asshole man. Like,
thank you.
Yeah. And like, has the chops to back it up. Which, by the way, you caught the same guy that I caught. It's the guy from what the fuck is it? Boardwalk Empire.
Michael Stuhlbarg. Yeah.
Yeah.
That love plays... that actor. He's in Steve Jobs. Almost nothing part in this movie.
No. But he's in there.
He's in there, and he actually gets a laugh or two. The vending machine.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he's kind of like the surgeon that also works at the hospital that's sort of the kind of like the nemesis to Bonneville Candy Snooch.
So you would definitely recommend this. You just have to see it in 3D. Like,
I recommend that people go see it in 3D. If you're watching it on cable 2 years from now, it's probably something you're not going to hate. Like, the visual effects probably are still going to be cool, but yeah. the 3D bumps them into another realm, no pun intended.
Yeah, there was a lot of that dimensional play that was going on that was just... In 3D, it was amazing. Outside of 3D, I don't think you would appreciate it as much.
Yeah.
And as baked as I was during that time of movie, it happens, you know?
Hey, listen, no judgment. That's all I'm saying.
No judging. No if judging. You're into that kind of thing, this is probably the movie to go do that in.
Yeah, it's probably true.
I know. I was like, I should get some shrooms and go see this thing.
He even mentions it, though, too. He says, like, what'd you put this to?
Yeah, exactly.
Just tea with a little honey. Two trailers that were actually part of Doctor Strange that we saw last night as we talk on the real thing on morelikeradio.com. And I wanted to get your opinion about... The Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer that we all saw.
Well, it's a teaser, so I loved it because it doesn't give anything away. I thought it was perfect. Like, I don't need to see anything else about Guardians of the Galaxy. Seeing the teaser is enough. I love the first one. Seeing the teaser just, you know, introduce me to these characters again and, you know, I get to see Baby Groot. That's enough. I'm there. I don't need to see anything about story, anything like that.
Yeah, they got they had it down pretty well compared to the other one that we saw, and I think it was called The Space Between Us.
Mars Kid?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah, and it just showed the entire trailer.
Every single beat of the movie.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, they introduce you to the characters, you get to find out what obstacle it is that they're about to overcome, you get to see them overcome the obstacle, and then even talk about how they overcame it and how it changed them and all this kind of stuff.
Fish out of water.
Oh my god.
Perseverance. Resolution.
And then
little moments of laughter.
And then you see Gary Oldman in the trailer, you're like, Gary, what are you doing?
He needs the scratch.
Man, you want to like smack his hand, like, no, Gary. No.
Does he even know what he really looks like anymore?
Have you seen the picture of him as Winston Churchill?
No.
Gary Oldman is playing Winston Churchill in a new movie. I don't know what it is.
Hold on a second.
It was on Reddit a couple days ago. He is unrecognizable. He's clearly in a lot of latex, or he just put on a shitload of weight after he made the Mars Kid movie.
Holy shit.
It could be both. He could have put on a little bit of weight, and he's also in a rubber suit. And the picture is from the side.
He does shit like that, man. He's fantastic.
Oh, he's one of the greatest actors on the planet, if not the greatest.
Ah, Joe Wright's directing it.
I mean, if you just think about some of the shit that Gary Oldman has done, whether it's Dracula, Drexel from True Romance.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
How amazing is he as Drexel? You must have thought it was White Boy Day.
He was good in The Professional, too.
The Professional.
He was good in Fifth Element. Yeah.
JFK.
The classic movie, The Fifth Element. Classic, quintessential gem that everybody must watch all the time.
Everyone has to watch. What did you guys think of Life, the trailer with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal?
Ugh. Yeah, I want to see a little bit more about like what we're talking about here. Like, is this a horror movie?
It looked like one.
Yeah, it's what it looked like. It looked like a horror movie in outer space, and I was kind of like, ah.
There's like comparisons to The Thing.
Yeah, it was like a little squirmy sperm and like invading this guy's hand.
Okay, and listen. That was the reason why I wanted to bring it up, too, is that...
Squirmy sperm?
Well, squirmy sperm, number one.
In space.
Okay.
Sperm in space.
It's the future, right? So the future would include all pop culture, like, don't you guys understand? Like, don't touch the thing that's moving around. Like, yeah. You don't have to have your finger so goddamn close. That's why when I was watching Alien before you guys came over last night, and it's fucking Ripley, like, Ripley saved the whole fucking thing, but they wanted to bring the goddamn guy on with the alien around his neck. Like, you guys are breaking the rules. There are rules, Sean.
There are rules.
There are all rules, Chris.
I don't have to follow them.
It's like Goldblum in the second Jurassic Park movie. She can't not touch. She can't not touch. Once she sees something, she's just gotta.
Yeah,
every single one of these movies, they would get nowhere if you didn't have some moron that touched the squirmy sperm.
That's true.
Or, you know, put his face down in the squiggly egg. Like, oh, I'm on an alien planet, and I don't know what's going on here. I guess I should put my face right next to this giant egg that looks like it's about to hatch. It's splitting open like a pinata. Let me look down in this thing and see what's in here.
That is not good.
Like that one guy that put his finger in the stingray's butt and it kind of killed him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Wait. Don't put your finger in things' butts, guys.
Crocodile Hunter?
Yeah, one of those. One of those idiots.
So, as we move on, the real thing on morelikeradio.com, I also wanted to bring up...
Wait a minute.
Let me...
What do you think of the fucking Harry Potter trailer? And we keep calling it a Harry Potter movie and a Harry Potter trailer. It's got nothing to do... Well, I won't say it has nothing to do with Harry Potter.
The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them
thing.
I haven't seen any of the movies, though.
You've seen zero.
None.
Zero?
Not a one.
I've seen, like, two of them, maybe.
Maybe the first one. But I keep falling asleep when I'm watching these things because,
they get better. The ones
Which
where
are the ones where Hermione are legal? Those are the ones I've watched.
Those are the better ones. Not for that reason.
None of them, actually. None of them, Sean.
she's an adult now, so technically that makes her legal.
None of this
counts.
True.
That's true. It's double jeopardy. Yeah, you can't do that.
I'm not a lawyer.
I know, it's true. I represent bird law,
though. I'm also not a doctor.
It's, okay. It looks good. Is it required that I have to watch them? Because now there's going to be five of them.
No.
They announced that they're going to have... This movie and a sequel.
They do that with all kinds of movies. They did that with Ghostbusters. Now we're not going to get one. Thank Christ.
Right. But
how hot is Colin Farrell?
But he looks like a badass.
See?
Badass wizard.
See? Don't you want to see it already?
I kind of want... yeah, sure.
And there's a possibility he might drop trial.
Also has Eddie Redmayne, a.k.a. Eddie Gucci Mane, and...
I am not interested in seeing it.
No?
Like, my wife is going to drag me to it, and I like the Harry Potter movies. As they went on, they got better.
Yeah.
But I think this looks like garbage. And I can see the potential for it being a failure.
Okay.
I don't think it will be. I think people... The Harry Potter name is enough.
No, there's no way.
No, there's enough 12, 13, and 14-year-olds in the world for that.
It looks like garbage.
Why, though? Being good. What?
Why do you think it looks like garbage?
I don't know. It's just like... it's kind of like what they did with Batman versus Superman. Which is, you're trying to throw us into this world and tell us that it's amazing. And you have not built the foundation for that the way that Marvel did.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm going to see this movie and I'm going to judge it on its own merits.
Right.
But it just feels like they're sort of standing on the shoulders of the Harry Potter universe. And these are all characters that we've never met before. So everybody's excited about a movie that they really don't understand any of the characters or what the story's about.
But are they connected to Harry Potter or are they connected to Hogwarts?
They're connected to Hogwarts, but there will certainly be mention of characters that you know, and, you know, they're fucking wizards and wands and shit.
Prequels? I thought that this one was supposed to be a prequel.
I have no idea. It's all the same to me.
In continuity, I think this is previous to the movies that we've already seen. The two that I've
Which you would
seen.
Have more freedom with. It would be one thing if it were like Jason Bourne, for example, and you've already
seen every single one of those.
All the stories that you can tell with Jason Bourne have been told.
Have they? I've got at least six more Jason Bourne titles.
Let me bleed this turnip dry and
born
put it
again.
And put Bourne, stillborn.
Afterborn.
Yeah. That was his joke, not mine.
Stillborn.
The Bourne identity was the other one that he mentioned.
Good luck, though, pitching that.
But this is, like Sean's saying, a prequel, so you would have a little bit more wiggle room, a little bit more wand wiggle room.
Put your dick away,
sperm wiggle room.
Don't touch that.
Don't touch it. You just want to touch it.
Just got to touch it. I don't know. I think it looks lame. And they've also got that one guy, that Dan Fogelman guy, like...
Dan Fogelman.
I'm thinking of Dan Fogelberg. Fogler. That's his name. Dan Fogler.
Dan Fogler. Is that the fat guy that's
the
with
fat
Eddie?
The fat guy that's he's like the comedic version of Jai Courtney and...
They're trying to make him happen?
Stop trying to make Dan Fogler happen.
Dan the Fogler.
God.
What else is he in?
Oh, he's in... A bunch of movies that all sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff you don't need to watch.
I don't even care.
Okay, well, look, I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you did bring up Harry Potter, and I might as well talk about Daniel Radcliffe every opportunity that I can get, Chris. I watched, I guess, his break, because I know he's done, like, a couple things here and there, but I saw Imperium.
I saw Imperium.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah? What'd you think?
Where he was the undercover cop. He's like sort of a bookish like agent, and they sort of recruit him to do, like, to infiltrate this neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
I thought it was a decent movie. I mean, the movie is pretty formulaic, but I thought he was really good in it. Like, you're not watching it thinking I'm watching Harry Potter.
I mean, you almost can't.
Especially when he's giving the Sig Heil and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, and he's getting a fucking, like, sleeve tattoo of an American Nazi flag and shit.
I thought the movie built some real tension. I thought they sort of telegraphed the ending. I didn't see that as a big surprise or anything like that. But, you know, him and Toni Collette, I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Not something I would, you know, own or, you know.
No.
I haven't seen this. I haven't seen much of Daniel Radcliffe outside of, but he seems to be doing well at distancing himself from that typecast. When you play a character for that long, it's hard for an actor to get back out there. And
yeah, I think he's been smart about making conscious decisions to do something else.
And I'm pretty sure I saw his dong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Equus?
Yeah.
Was that it?
The whore, he was standing by a horse or something.
Yes.
And hanging dong, and he was just out there. I was like, all right, good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Yeah, it's the background on my phone.
Yours, too?
But it did have... Who was the guy? You were the one that got me into Homeland.
Yeah.
And it had the fucking... The evil guy, the Dallas... Whatever his name is. Diamond Dallas Page with the diamond cutter. But he's in this movie as well.
He's in which movie?
He's in Imperium.
Diamond, who was he in?
He's the radio host.
Only ever seen the first season of Homeland, so if he's on anything after that, I have no idea.
See, and now I'm five seasons.
But he's the radio host in Imperium.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
I don't remember him from Homeland, but he was good in this movie.
Yeah, he looks like...
Sort of like an Alex Jones type figure.
Yeah, he's like the new J.T. Walsh.
The
new bad guy.
Alex Jones?
Yeah. Yes, okay. That guy.
That's who he plays in this movie. He plays like an Alex Jones type.
Savior of the country.
Savior of the country.
That's right.
I try to say it with a straight face.
Speaking of savior of the country, some news, because I love to educate you guys on the real thing on morelikeradio.com. Did you know that Steven Seagal... is now a Russian citizen?
Did you know he's a fat piece of shit as well?
Thanks to his powerful pal, Vladimir Putin, did you know that the Kremlin announced Thursday that the Russian president has signed a decree welcoming the American action star best known for movies such as Above the Law, Hard to Kill, and Under Siege?
Mark Frida.
Doesn't he weigh like 800 pounds now?
I mean, he always looks like he's got his hands, like, right here.
I think he's going to Russia to lose weight. Because I don't think they have much food over there.
His beard is, like, so dense. Like, he's got the densest... He's got, like, the little Doctor Strange goatee.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but it's,
yeah,
like, dense, like, beaver fur, you know? Like, I mean, it's, like, it looks like Groucho Marx's eyebrows.
It looks like he spray tanned that shit on there.
Seriously, no, I think it's a decal. It's like, I think he just, like, slaps that on there every morning when he wakes up.
It's like, I measure hair thickness in Selix, Tom Selix.
How many Selix is that?
Well, one Tom Selix is unattainable for the mere human.
That's right. So, it's theoretical, actually.
Right. It's not even a real number. It's kind of like pi. You have to do math and stuff, and I'm not going to make you guys do that here.
No, please don't.
No. If you want that, stay tuned for Hippo Juice, and then...
That's right.
Then I'll shit math all over the place and make you guys think... No, I won't, because Royce will yell at me. So, it's just a, you know, measure of hair thickness, the Tom Selix.
Speaking of math, let's talk about the number 10. I know about it fairly recently because, Chris, you were complaining about this, that legendary director Quentin Tarantino confirmed that he will be calling it quits after completing his 10th film, which means he's only doing two more.
How many times do we need him to confirm this? Like, he's been talking about this for so long, like, hey, Quentin, we get it. Make your movies and stop telling us you're going to retire. And by the way, if you're interested, don't make them like The Hateful Eight again. Because that sucked ass.
53-year-old director revealed to the crowd that he's currently focusing on a historical nonfiction project.
Historical nonfiction.
Historical nonfiction, which means it gives him free license to use the N-word as much as he possibly can.
Yeah.
Because it was historically accurate. Oh, it's 1862.
Right.
It's the year before the war ends.
His movies are getting longer, too. Like, they're getting, like... longer and somehow packing more N-words in there. This one's going to be it's going to be called Nigger and just going to be 13 hours long.
It's just fucking 13 hours of some guy, some white guy, by the way.
Right.
Christoph Waltz.
Of course.
Yes. I mean, he will win the Oscar and then all hell will break loose.
He's going to do a remake of American History X, I think, but with more hate.
More hate.
God, that'd be terrible. How about this? The other thing that I wanted to talk to Chris about. So... I don't know if you saw the article that I posted in Line, but there's a Chinese mogul that is buying properties left and right in the United States. He already owns the Golden Globe Awards, the American Music Awards.
Wait, Golden Globes, that's like a foreign thing, isn't it?
The Miss America pageant, New Year's Rockin' Eve in Times Square, along with Dick Clark Productions.
Who the fuck is this guy?
This guy's name is Wang Jialin.
You see, you're pulling my Wang right now.
Wang Jialin?
He is the chairman of the Beijing-based Dalian Wanda Group, who also owns AMC Theaters.
Hey!
And Legendary Entertainment. And Carmike Cinemas, which he's planning on buying.
Mm.
Yeah. It's one guy.
Just one guy?
Does that seem a little strange to you?
Does seem strange. I don't think we should allow this.
That he wants one of the big six movie studios, and he tried buying Paramount Pictures earlier this year, but apparently a controlling shareholder backed out, which would have been Viacom.
Wow.
And so
that's bizarre. I mean, I guess, like, buy whatever you want. Why would you want to buy the Golden Globes? Like, how do you get money from owning the Golden Globes?
Advertising space.
Advertising?
You sell advertising. Those events, advertising, it double and triples.
So, like, he owns the Golden Globe. I mean, they literally have, like, one award show a year.
Right.
And he just owns the rights to it.
Yeah, he has the rights to own the production of it.
So he shops the show to NBC or ABC or whoever it is that's going to air it, and then he gets a big piece of all the marketing money and all that kind of stuff. Like, yes. That's what you get for owning the Golden Globes.
Pretty much.
Golden Globes are fun.
They are fun.
If you had to choose to go to one award show, could be anything. Could be Golden Globes, Emmys, Grammys, Tonys, Academy Awards, fucking MTV Awards.
AVN Awards in Vegas.
AVN Awards.
AVN Awards in Vegas.
Yeah, that's kind of... But although, I don't know. I think that might be more frustrating to go there.
Oh, it'll be pretty frustrating to go there. But I mean, it would be a great time. Eye candy. I enjoy it.
I would go to the Golden Globes for the eye candy, for the booze, and you get to hang out with, like, hey, I'm hanging out with fucking Denzel. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm hanging out with Jonah Hill.
Maybe one of those roasts on Comedy Central. Anything where Sarah Silverman might show up is where I'll be at.
Hell yeah.
That's true.
I think Golden Globes for me, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, they always seem a little bit toasted, and, you know, you always see a table, and it's like, okay, this table's like Denzel, Helen Mirren, Lady Gaga, and, you know, Mike Myers or something like that. Yeah. A weird group. Sometimes they're, like, grouped in, you know, oh, this is movie. Everybody from The Revenant or whatever. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it doesn't. Or they put two movies. They sandwich two movies in one table.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'd like going to the Academy Awards.
Academy Awards looks like a fucking pain in the ass.
Well, I want to sit at the table with Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
I can't wait for that show to start up.
Has it not started?
I think it starts after we've all chosen our doom.
Yes.
Coming week. Then we can have Martha and Snoop.
It would actually be an easier choice. It might even be harder if we were choosing between Snoop and Martha Stewart for president.
I would like that. I would.
And I would actually prefer to watch a TV show with Trump and Clinton just interviewing, like, fucking, you know, like, the new cast of Dancing with the Stars and stuff like that, you know?
Hi, I'm Ryan Lochte, and this is Donald Trump. He's gonna be huge. He's a huge, huge international star.
I'll ask the questions. Hillary doesn't know anything about you.
I'd like to see a TV show with Donald Trump and Anthony Weiner. Hmm. I think that would be fun.
Oh, my God.
That would be a good time.
I think it would just be called Rapists.
Yeah, probably. I could see the network pitching that.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Cops, except rape.
Yes. Basically, yes. But with better camera work.
You had me at rape. I mean...
Yeah, that's how rape works.
Oh, okay.
I have you.
It's not surprise sex, right?
No.
No.
That's what my girlfriend keeps telling me, and I didn't think so.
No, I think there has to be, what's that C word?
Consent.
Well, I was going to say crackers, but that too.
I like crackers. Yeah, if crackers. There's crackers, then that's a good time. Especially if there's cheese on those crackers.
Man, we do not think about the same C words.
That's right. One final note as far as news is concerned. Did you know that the world's worst filmmaker, Uwe Boll, has finally retired?
God, I mean, when's the last time he even made anything?
He did. I want to say something... Not a like typical project of his, which is like super ultra mega shitty, but
super ultra mega shitty.
Is that a technical term? I don't know. The it industry. Is actually.
He did like Afraid of the Dark, and he did the what else did he do?
Rampage, President Down.
Rampage, which is, President Down.
Which is the sequel to Rampage, Capital Punishment.
Now, if you watch the second one, but you don't watch the first one, do you miss anything, or can you just jump into the second one right
now? I think you can just jump into it, kind of like you can jump into... These are names that I'm not making up, by the way. This is part of his Wikipedia filmography. So you can jump into Blubberella, if you want, or you can go...
Blubberella!
Or Auschwitz, his other 2011 classic, or the third sequel of In the Name of the King.
Stuck on Blubberella. Is this a chick that's like... really attractive, but slightly overweight? Because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Blubber. Man, blubber doesn't indicate slightly overweight to me. Like, I immediately pictured, like, Precious, you know?
Oh, no.
Mama June type status?
Yeah,
is that
Mama
what
June,
about?
Like, in a nightie, you know?
Ugh.
With, like, some boots and a couple of swords.
Maybe a bottle of Jim Beam.
Yeah.
Oh, this was the other thing I wanted to talk about. So... Dave Chappelle is going to host Saturday Night Live next weekend.
Yeah, he says he's already got people betting on whether he's going to show up or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's showing up with A Tribe Called Quest, but then I also saw a couple things where he was doing, I guess, warm-up material with whatever crowd that he was at. He was, like, bashing on Hillary. He was claiming that Trump wasn't wrong as far as the comments that were made on Access Hollywood, but because technically what he was saying was that he had received consent from the woman that he was wanting to...
He was
saying
the statement implies consent.
Correct.
But I think people were sort of reading that article about Chappelle kind of incorrectly, because the way I read it, he was saying the same thing, which is what a lot of people are saying, which is they're voting for Hillary Clinton, they're just going to hold their nose while they do it. That's kind of the impression I got from him of what he was saying.
So, but do you...
I don't give a fuck about his politics. I'm glad that the guy is hosting SNL. Like, this has got to be the highest profile thing he has done since he walked off the Chappelle Show, right?
I think so.
I mean, yeah, he basically made that Block Party movie, but that was kind of not really, like, that was more about the music, not really about him.
Yeah, that was like a live concert deal. Yeah.
And he's done stand-up. You've seen him on, you know, the late night programs and stuff like that. But this is going to be the most high profile thing he's done since he left Chappelle Show.
And I believe that he's never hosted Saturday Night Live.
I don't think he has. No. This is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'm actually
Chappelle Show is some of the best sketch comedy of all time.
I wonder if he would have, you know, carte blanche to just have, you know, like, if they're just handing him the keys and just saying, you think up whatever you want, we'll do it. Or if he's going to be kind of reeled in a little bit, just based on what...
Well, he's notoriously kind of fussy, I think. Yeah. So, like, I would think he would only agree to do it if he had a certain amount of control. Having said that, SNL is kind of a... You know, I mean, they've got their own clout. I don't think they just let anybody walk in and say, I want to write this and I want to write that.
Well, I'm looking forward to it regardless.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it's like... Dave Chappelle's hosting Saturday Night Live? All right.
I'll watch it.
I'm totally in.
I mean, I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore that much.
They have, like, you know, it's honestly, I don't think it's any better or worse than it used to be. Like, even in the best days of Saturday Night Live, we talk about, like, the Will Ferrell days, or back in the Dana Carvey, Mike Meyer days, or even back in the beginning with Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and all those guys.
Yeah. Chevy Chase is my hero, so.
It was always, there was two or three good sketches on an episode, and the rest was shit, you right. know? Like, people forget how much shit there was in the heyday, like, in the well, really
that's,
good
that's
days.
That's how you get gems like More Cowbell.
Exactly.
You gotta wade. It's that's what I tell people about the internet all the time. I'm like, if you want to find the really good stuff, you gotta wade through all the bullshit.
Right.
You gotta wade through shit till you find that diamond in the rough, and it's there. And once you get there, it's great.
And Saturday Night Live has always been like that. It's still that way today. Like, all over the news today was, you know, clips of, once again, Alec Baldwin playing Trump and Kate McKinnon playing Clinton. And it's just another clip of the exact same jokes that they've done every time these two characters have played these two actors have played those two characters. There was a couple other funny skits on that show last night. There was one where they did a game show called "Why Is Benedict Cumberbatch So Hot," which was actually really, really funny.
Really,
like, yeah, but way funnier than the Alec Baldwin, Kate McKinnon, Trump, Clinton thing.
Okay,
but you know. That's what gets pressed because that's what everybody's talking about right now.
Right.
So the show still has some good writers on there. But then there was a couple of skits that fucking bombed, that were not funny at all.
Yeah.
I mean, and they've always been that way.
I watched the episode with Tom Hanks that was on recently.
That was a good episode.
That was a really good episode.
There was an above average number of good skits on
that. The Black Jeopardy skit made me lose my shit.
Black Jeopardy was so well written. Yeah.
Tom
really
Hanks
funny.
Was on there, and I'm glad to see Keenan still doing things
and
occasionally.
And David Pumpkins.
Oh, that's
also
right.
And David Pumpkins was also a thing.
David yep. S. Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins.
Of course.
Any questions?
Yes, several.
And by the way, the other thing about Saturday Night Live is, through the years, even when it's been terrible, Weekend Update has always been fantastic.
Weekend Update has to be fantastic. It's basically, that's why I love Chevy Chase so much.
Yes.
And Weekend Update,
right.
They killed it.
He kind of invented that particular type of comedy, which is what Seth Meyers does, which is what Colbert does. Chevy Chase sort of invented that.
Yeah. Trust me, that's why I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how Chappelle does in lieu of his break, but all I know is that everyone's super excited
to
see this.
Chappelle's one of the funniest guys on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys you have to go watch, even if it is a train wreck. But he's Dave Chappelle. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really, really good.
As far as...
And Tribe Called Quest, by the way. That's not, yeah. It's no laughing matter either. Like, I'm fucking psyched about seeing them.
Yeah. So as we wrap up on the real thing on morelikeradio.com, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of significant events that are on the horizon when it comes to the election, but we also had a significant event that is ingrained in pop culture, and that is the Chicago Cubs won the World Series this year. It ends their 108-year drought. And from the Sandlot to Ferris Bueller to Bill Murray and Rookie of the Year and a bunch of other spots, I know that the big joke, and Back to the Future 2, in fact, that, you know, Cubs could win the World Series, like, that is, wait, what are you talking about? It's almost unheard of. It would never happen. Well, now it's happened. To the point where, I guess, Back to the Future screenwriter Bob Gale was talking about how, well, try to think of the most ridiculous and unbelievable sports event that we could think of, and that was the Cubs winning the World Series. And so now he's all sullen and sad that, ah, well, the joke's not going to work anymore. So I pose to you, who should be our next team to, like, this is never going to happen, right? This is never going to happen as far as this team winning.
Oh, can I just go on record as a Dolphins fan and say the Dolphins?
Like, no, you don't. No. Listen, I'm not telling you to say that. In fact,
but the Dolphins had a fucking undefeated season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you won Super Bowls.
You got teams out there like the Browns and shit like that. You know?
Cleveland is doing a great job of being awful this year.
Yeah. Everywhere except for the baseball team, which actually ultimately was awful in a small way, too.
Yeah.
They were the second runner-up. They were the first loser. That's nice.
Exactly.
That's good consolation.
Here's how I feel about the baseball thing. I'll defer to Eric Andre.
Yeah.
Is it a dick?
I don't give a shit about baseball.
That part.
Right. Who's the guy that's on his couch?
I don't know who's on. Oh, no, it's the guy from Lost. The creepy thin black guy.
Oh, the guy from The Wire.
Yes.
This is bullshit.
Yes, that guy.
Why is he talking baseball?
And then he's also got the who's the guy that's on Broad City? He's the dentist or whatever.
What's Hannibal Buress.
Hannibal Buress is that's his side guy.
That's awesome.
Eric Andre. No, I don't give a shit about baseball.
Me neither.
At all. Really, I mean, good for the Cubs. 108 years. That's pretty cool. I know a lot of people that are Cubs fans that are happy about it. I know a couple douchebags that are Cubs fans, so I was kind of pulling for the Cleveland Indians because I wanted to see those douchebag Cub fans continue suffering. Not talking about, people that I know and love like Adam Forlaw and people like that.
No, of course not.
I'm talking about, other douchebags.
Different douchebags.
Different, separate, douchebags.
Different colored douchebags.
Separate but equal.
Separate but equal.
Yes. No, not different colored douchebags.
What was it, 1956?
You're such a racist, Mark.
I'm only saying that because I'm looking at Back to the Future information here, and so...
It is weird that Back to the Future predicted it 1 year prior to the actual year, right? Like that in the movie, it's 2015 Cubs win World Series, right?
Against the Miami Alligators.
Miami Alligators.
They predicted Miami would get a team.
See?
Didn't have a team back then.
That's true. Good Lord. Yeah. That's kind of.
You say you don't like baseball.
See, no, I mean, like... I grew up in South Florida, yeah, so when the Marlins won the stuff,
they're not called the Miami Marlins, right? They're called the Florida Marlins.
They were back then, but now they're, the Miami Marlins. Yeah. It all blows, though.
Yeah.
It's boring.
I can't watch it. To go watch a game live? Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
That's fun. 4 hours? No thanks. No thanks.
I can watch any event live.
I'll go watch hockey. Hockey is fun live.
I just think it's kind of interesting that, that they have sucked for so long, have, I guess, knowingly embraced the fact that they've sucked for so long, and it's just prevalent throughout, movies and television and all this other stuff. Now what would be the joke? Like, what could you do? Like, the Cleveland Browns are just terrible. Like, we're going to start writing stuff in there. Like,
it's still Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, it's an awful place to be.
Yeah.
It's not nice. It's not.
And you forget it wasn't that long ago that these jokes were being made about the Boston Red Sox, hadn't won it forever. And by the way, here's how bad the Cleveland Indians suck. There was a movie 30 fucking years ago about the Cleveland Indians not winning and sucking.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest baseball movie of all time. Possibly the greatest sports movie of all time.
He was this close to throwing out the Game 7 first pitch, too.
Who? That would have been great.
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, that would have been so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Except if he got his AIDS on that ball. That
That's...
Might make it go faster.
I don't know how that works, if it makes the ball more aerodynamic.
It's called a slider.
It just spins it out.
It's a breaking ball.
I'll show you a slider.
There you go. But anyway... So, congratulations to Chicago and to Adam Forlaw specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like practically crying all over his Facebook page about the Cubs right now.
Well, as he should, though.
I still can't believe the Cubs won the World Series. No, but there's like videos online of like 95-year-old men like, getting all teared up in their fucking pajamas in their living room and stuff like that.
And then dying of heart attacks immediately after the game.
I know.
Just like slugging down whiskey because they've been waiting.
That's all I wanted.
Just the one?
Just that's it.
So we will leave you with the...
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Do you have any more Benedict Cumberbatch names?
Oh, I do. Wait.
Does he?
I have.
We go back and forth here.
Let's see. Blubberdick Cumberbund.
Mm.
Bendy Straw Cumminpacks.
Brillo Pad Clit Nibbler.
Bumblebee Cracker Jack.
Basic Bitch Captain Crunch.
Bobblehead Crumbleface.
Brainy Face Toodle Snort.
Bandicoot Colon Snatch.
Black and Tan Candy Corn.
And I think I said the others. Bible Belt Crossing Guard.
Yes.
Battleship Coochie Pop.
Right.
That's really good.
Blister Dick Canker Sore. Benadryl Custard Spoon.
Custard Spoon.
Biscuit Pan Cotton Sticks. Berry Nuts Crusty Puss. Basket Weave Cuddle Buns. Bushy Beard Kitty Fiddler. Beelzebub Clipper Ship.
See, they gotta have... Okay, look. You have to have three syllables
for
the B and C.
Sure.
So.
Bandicoot Cuttlefish.
That's good.
Buckminster Candy Crush.
That's good.
Benetton Camel Toe.
John Mayer's favorite.
I mean,
Bolo Tie Coupon Clip. That's it. That's all I got. That's
good. There you go.
So we will leave you with the end credits of Back to the Future, since we were talking about it before. Sean, is there anything that you want to plug?
Oh, you're on Sarah Silverman. He said that earlier. Now, right?
Yes.
Well, I would love to plug Sarah Silverman, but she doesn't want to seem to let me.
Well, until then.
Until the day that she gives me like 100% consent.
Yes.
Then I'll plug Hippo Juice, which is on Wednesdays Live, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on morelikeradio.com, which is where you can catch this show.
That's right.
Your show, which you've done a fantastic job.
Well, thank you so much. Well, we're happy to have you on here.
Well, I mean, I live right down the street. Why couldn't I?
Of course.
I'm lazy and stoned most of the time.
That's why I love you.
I know.
Hippo Juice is coming up next, in fact. Sean is right. Chris, always a pleasure.
Likewise. It's been fun.
And we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good week.